Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I prepped the choir. So there's a proper greeting for the Easter season. You see, for many centuries, during the Easter season, at least during the Easter season, Christians did not say hello or good morning or anything so pedestrian as that. But overcome with joy at our Lord's resurrection from the dead, they could no longer say good morning or hello or anything so boring. Instead, they greeted each other with a traditional Easter greeting. This has been the tradition for many, many centuries, is still the tradition amongst our Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters, but in the West, it's kind of forgotten, and I want to bring it back. I am working very hard to bring this back. So, during the Easter season, we do not say hello or good morning, anything boring like that. Instead, we say, Christ is risen, alleluia, and you respond, He is risen indeed, alleluia. Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
Awesome. Now, if you're really cool, you can add something to it and say, Christ is risen, alleluia, and He is risen indeed, alleluia, and has appeared to Simon. That's a quote directly from the Gospel of St. Luke, and has appeared to Simon. So if you're cool, you can also respond with that, Christ is risen, alleluia, and has appeared to Simon, alleluia. Now, if you're really, really cool, you can do it in Greek. It's very easy. I say Christos Anesti, you say Alephos Anesti. Very good. Christos Anesti.
Alephos
Anesti. We'll try that again. Alephos Anesti. Christos Anesti.
Alephos Anesti.
Very good. Now, I learned all of this because I am very good friends with a Ukrainian Catholic priest who taught me all this stuff, Father Russell, down in Gettysburg. Wonderful guy. He taught me the Ukrainian greeting, so if you're Ukrainian, you might know this. I say, Christos Voskres, you say, Voistino Voskres. We're not going to do that one. I had to like practice that one in the mirror for a long time. It's very difficult. The only things I know how to say in Ukrainian are, Christos Voskres, Voistino Voskres, and I'm sorry, I don't speak Ukrainian. That's all I know. But overcome with Easter joy at our Lord's resurrection, we cannot simply say hello to one another anymore. That's not sufficient. It doesn't fit the occasion. I'm going to be testing you on this throughout the Easter season. If you thought I was obnoxious during Lent, that's only 40 days, Easter's 50. We must rejoice at our Lord's resurrection. We must be overcome with Easter joy. The apostles today were not overcome with Easter joy. They struggled. It was difficult to believe. At the moment of our Lord's passion, they all scattered. One of them, overcome with grief and guilt at betraying his Lord, even took his own life. 10 of them flew to the winds, one of them denying him 3 times. Only one disciple stayed by him in the midst of his passion. Disciple who wrote today's gospel. And they were all scattered, separated from our Lord, separated from one another, and overcome with fear. On the day of his resurrection, on Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, many of them were locked away inside a room. They literally locked themselves in out of fear. Mary Magdalene rose up early in the morning to go to the tomb, found it empty, ran back to the apostles and said, they've taken our Lord, and I don't know where they put him. So Peter and John run back to the tomb, they find it empty, and they find an angel who declares to them that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's going before them to Galilee. And they run back to the other apostles to tell them about our Lord's resurrection. Mary Magdalene sees him face to face. Christ speaks her name to him. She recognizes him. And is overcome with joy and holds on to him to the point that Jesus has to tell her, stop holding on to me. You have a mission to go. You have a mission to do. Go and do it. The disciples who are walking away from Jerusalem, defeated, meet him on the road to Emmaus. And they run back to the apostles in the middle of the night to tell them how they recognize Christ in the breaking of the bread. That he is risen from the dead. finally, Jesus himself appears to them on the evening of Easter Sunday and says those words that they've heard him say probably hundreds, if not thousands of times, "Peace be with you," or in Hebrew, "Shalom." A simple greeting, "Shalom." But they're still fearful, and they're still separated. Not all of the apostles are there. Not all of the disciples have gathered together. Thomas wasn't there for whatever reason. We're not told why. Maybe it was fear. Maybe it was this feeling of being defeated, that all was lost. But he hears these stories. Mary Magdalene has seen our Lord. I'm sure, Mary, that you thought you did. You loved him so much. I'm sure you believe that you saw him. Oh, the other disciples claim to have seen him too. You know what, guys? I'm sure that you believe that you did. I think you saw him. The disciples from Emmaus, they saw him too. Hey, I'm sure you loved him as much as we did. Maybe you saw him, but until I see the marks in his hands and place my hand in his side, where the lance pierced his heart, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can believe that. Thomas doesn't know what to do. He's still scared. And you might think, well, all the other disciples are rejoicing. Well, today, it's a week later, and they're locked in the same room again. Now they're all together, which is, that's better than they were before, but they're still afraid. They're still fearful. They've still locked themselves away from the world. They locked themselves away together, but they locked themselves away. And Thomas is still wrestling with this. All the other disciples have claimed to have seen him, but he hasn't seen him. He hasn't seen our Lord. He's struggling to believe. It's a difficult thing to believe that a man rose from the dead for real. Christ appears in their midst and says those words again, "Shalom, peace be with you." And St. Thomas, Thomas the Apostle, I hope he was filled with joy, but I imagine in my prayers on this reading, I imagine he was also filled with fear. Because at this point, the second time our Lord appears to them in that same room, he's the only one in the room who didn't believe. He's the only one there who didn't believe in the resurrection at this point, who didn't trust the witness of Mary Magdalene or the other disciples or the disciples from Emmaus. But look at the incredible love of our Lord. He goes to Thomas and doesn't condemn him, does not shame him, but instead says, "Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe until you saw the nail marks in my hands. Well, here they are. You said you wouldn't believe until you placed your hand in my side. Well, come on, here it is. If this is what you need, then I'll give it to you. But Thomas, remember, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Personally, I have not seen with my own eyes our risen Lord. Maybe you have. That'd be really cool. If you have, please tell me about that. That'd be really neat. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. St. Faustina saw him face to face. Saw the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. We don't have that luxury. But our Lord says, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a useful myth. It is not a story that by believing it we become better people, whether it's true or not. No, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is a real historical event, something that actually happened. If it didn't actually happen, it's not worth believing. But if it did, then everything is different because of that. Everything must change in response to that. Because by his death, Christ has conquered over death, and by his rising, he's offered us eternal life. I did not see our Lord with my own eyes. I wasn't there for the resurrection. Nobody was. But I believe because the apostles met him face to face. Mary Magdalene met him face to face The disciples from Emmaus met him face to face. Hundreds of others met him face to face after his resurrection. And they went and told people about him. And they went to their graves and often to their crosses, proclaiming that he had risen from the dead. And they proclaimed it to other people, and they proclaimed it to other people, to other people, to other people, until someone finally told my parents, and they told me. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. But this is a historical fact. Not a useful story or a kind myth. Something that really happened. And that because that really happened, then eternal life is a real option. It's something that we can really receive. Not just something to think about, a philosophical exercise, or a cathartic vision, but something real. And therefore, we must be changed because of it. We must be a different people in the light of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising, he has offered us eternal life. Let us be transformed by that fact. Let us be joyful in the light of our Lord's resurrection. And let us who have not seen him with our own eyes, but with the eyes of faith, proclaim him everywhere. Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Christ the light and the life of the world. Christ our own life, our own Savior, and the joy of this beautiful time.